This is the SF Productions Podcast Network. How I Got My Wife to Read Comics, Episode 323. Can a comic collector of over 25 years get his wife to read them? Will she let him keep them? Learn more in this podcast. Let's go to the comic book lounge with Mindy and Mark.
Three Flashes Are Better Than One, Booster's Back, Ollie's Army, A Digital Superman Takes His Final Bow, and Quack, Quack, Quack. This is How I Got My Wife to Read Comics for Sunday, September 28, 2014. I'm Mark.
And I'm Mindy. Just a reminder, you can go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts and blogs, or you can subscribe via iTunes where you can leave us a review.
You can email at sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter @sfppn, check out tumblr.com/blog/sfppn, or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP.
Mark.
Yes.
There is a huge pile of comics for me to read.
Yes, there is.
I have not read anything but the show comics for about 3 weeks.
That's right.
So I need something that's going to keep me on pace for reading comics.
Okay.
So what do you suggest? Maybe should I blog my comic catch-up?
Yeah, that's an idea.
Okay, everyone, check out my blog, Comic Catch-Up, on sfpodcastnetwork.com, and it's just Mindy's blog.
There you go.
And if I don't read at least four comics a day, you guys can all yell at me.
Well, 3D Gimmick Month continues. Futures End, The Flash, number one by Venditti, Van Jensen, and Booth. So this is particularly confusing because Barry was already in the middle of a time travel storyline.
It didn't really seem to be different than the regular storyline.
It really didn't. It had nothing to do with Future's End. And indeed, this really didn't seem to have anything to do with Future's End.
No. They didn't talk about the big war
right,
or this
yeah.
or that.
Yeah. He's losing time. This is what has already been going on for the last several issues. He's losing time whenever he taps into the Speed Force. And this future version of Barry in this techie kind of blue electric suit is going back to right the wrongs that he missed during these time jumps. Because he wasn't there to save people and to do the right thing because he kept finding himself getting moved farther and farther in time. So in this case, he's stopping Reverse Flash while saving Iris and Wally from a car accident caused by Reverse Flash, accidentally, essentially. 5 years future Barry meets future Barry. So it does say we're 5 years in the future when this event occurs.
Huh.
So that's the very incredibly tenuous tie-in to Future's End.
Okay. So, okay, well, never mind.
So 5 years future Barry meets the real future Barry, like even farther future. And per comic book rules, there has to be a battle. Future Barry explains how the time force is broken, but 5 years in the future Barry grabs him, so their forces repel each other because of the Speed Force interacting, and Wally is hit by the resulting explosion and now gets Speed Force powers, aka he's now Kid Flash.
But if it's 5 years in the future, isn't he like 23 or something now?
Yeah.
So he's not really Kid Flash.
Yeah, but he's another Flash.
I know you meant, but
right.
But he didn't look 5 years older.
No,
there.
No, he didn't.
And that's the thing with doing these 5 years forward with kids. Kids age really quickly.
Yes. And it's not really showing that.
Yes.
So future Barry is thrown into current time where he somehow finds that same Kid Flash.
Well, I assume that Kid Flash went back in time.
Oh, maybe that's what it is.
Because Barry, dying Barry said, go find him.
Yeah. Time travel am confusing. That's all I can say. Future's End Booster Gold, number one by Juergens, Moritat, Rapman, Conrad, Lytle, Thompson, Irwin, Friends, Hannah, and Booth.
That's a lot of people.
That's a lot of people.
But Booster Gold!
Yeah, and wait a minute. Booster Gold doesn't even have a monthly title for this one shot to be based on, which is how they've been doing all the other ones. At least not yet. we find the new 52 booster, and we know he's the new 52 booster because he has the decal on for the...
New 52.
No, the, what's the... There's some sort of logo for...
Oh, okay.
The government organization.
Yeah.
And I'm blanking on the name of it.
Okay.
So that's how we know, and he's got more armor. So that's how we know he's a new 52 booster. And he somehow finds himself in 1800s London, where he just narrowly misses Batman. Well, this is apparently the Gotham by Gaslight continuity. Now, I didn't even get that. I had to read online as to how that was the case, because
okay.
It didn't look like a vampire Batman or anything like
right.
that.
Right.
I don't know. He suddenly zaps back to the new 52 to see himself getting a beating from an OMAC.
Now, this is where all those people come in, right? There were different people doing the different
right.
time frames.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then he, in quick sequence, jumps to an 80s-style Legion of Superheroes in the 30th century. Earth 4, with the classic 60s-style Captain Atom and Blue Beetle. Post-Great Disaster with Commandy and Talking Tigers. And the 80s Booster Gold continuity with his sister, Gold Star. He's like whipping through various continuities. And then he finally runs back into the new 52 Booster. And all three of them, two Boosters and the sister, are being tortured by what looks like a Brainiac robot who wants to know about Vanishing Point, which is a concept from the pre-New 52 storyline of Booster Gold.
Right. And throughout this, he had also talked about, like, Rip and knowing about these different times
yeah.
from Rip. So
exactly. So Booster finally breaks down in this torture to save his sister. And then it says at the end, to be continued where worlds and futures end. Wow, what is that about?
Well, I thought they were referring to Vanishing Point because that's where everything ends.
Well, that's a good point. So this may be tied to the end of Superman Doomed, and without, now I know you didn't read that yet.
No,
so this
I haven't.
Isn't really a spoiler.
Oh, I don't care if I'm spoiled.
Yeah. But at the very last panel, Brainiac sees the multiverse. I mean, he sees like these facets of the multiverse, and they're saying somehow this is tied to that. And the rumor is this is all the beginning of either Blood Moon, which is going to be an event next year that they're going to use during the period that DC Comics staff move from New York to L.A., because apparently they're using Stagecoach or something
yeah.
to get across. It's like, last time I checked, you can get in the plane and be there the same day. But they're convinced that they basically have to have a two-month filler event to cover that period where they're getting their pencils in the right position on their desks.
Well, I thought that most of the artists and writers don't work in New York
exactly.
anyway.
Exactly. This is bogus. Or this is the first sign of the restoration of the pre-New 52 universe. That event, the Blood Moon, would reset things back to what some people are referring to as Earth August.
Oh, I like that.
The month before the New 52 hit in 2011.
But why would they do that?
Because people hate the New 52 so much.
Oh. So, that was just a little three-year experiment.
Yeah. Well, you can look at it in a way kind of like what Marvel did, their Ultimate Universe.
Right.
Which then kind of imploded and came back.
Okay, I can live with that.
So I'm hoping that's the case. That may be wishful thinking that DC's going to realize that New 52 was a huge mistake.
You know what would be nice? If they took it back to before the whole Max Lord going crazy thing.
Right. Well, they could easily do that. And there's also the point that 2015 into 2016 will be the big anniversary for Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Ah.
So this could be the excuse to basically reset things way back.
I wonder if they reset things back, if they'd go back to the old numbering.
That would be nice. I'd love to see that. Well, speaking of New 52, the New 52 Futures End number 21 by Azzarello, Giffen, Jurgens, Lemire, and Hammer. I haven't been covering this title a lot because it's mostly been jumping between stories so often within the issue to the point that no forward motion was actually happening.
Right.
It just seemed like they were vamping.
Well, I certainly, I mean, I haven't read four issues of it.
And you didn't miss anything.
And I didn't miss anything.
Exactly. But this issue actually stayed in one place and did one story. Green Arrow is alive. Duh. We knew he was actually alive. And he's setting up an army on a private island, along with Red Arrow from Earth 2, who was also thought dead, because we saw him supposedly be killed in the Earth 2 title.
Right.
They tell the story of how Earth 2's heroes made it to Earth 1. Earth 2 was basically destroyed by Darkseid, which is, I think, is what we're going to see in the whole Earth 2 World's End weekly that's coming up.
Okay.
A set of space arcs was built to escape, and they managed to warp over to Earth 1's universe, along with a bunch of civilians, as many as they could, to get on this arcs. But Darkseid's army followed them through the warp, so Mr. Miracle of Earth 2 turned around and sacrificed his ship to stop them. Or did he? Turns out, Brother Eye beamed them off the ship at the last second, but they're still prisoners on Cadmus Island, and that's how they got to Cadmus Island. That has never really been explained until now as to how this all happened and why all the Earth 2 heroes are in prison there. Meanwhile, the rest of Darkseid's army came to Earth 1, which created the war they keep referring to. So now we know that's what that was. It was kind of inferred, but now we know. After the war, Earth 2's refugees, again, a lot of civilians, were kind of made second-class citizens. Green Arrow tried to help the refugees, but in the end had to fake his own death in order to get away from being attacked. Now, Green Arrow is going to take his army to attack Cadmus Island. In one issue, they move forward a huge amount after many, many issues of like, okay, well, we got to wait. I think they had to wait for this new weekly Earth 2 title to come out.
Ah.
I think that's why they've been vamping.
Now, are you getting the new weekly Earth 2 title?
I am.
Okay.
Well, at least this was all a single story as opposed to jumping around every two pages. Adventures of Superman number 17 by Ordway, Niles, DeConnick, Rude, Smith, DeLandro, Whitemore, Belair, and Wilson. This is the final issue of the Digital First series, and I'm not very happy about that.
Oh, that is so sad. This is like, I would pay twice as much for this comic.
Exactly. Because we get three really decent stories out of the final issue. There's one about Superman and the classic Silver Age Kirby Omak character, which is almost really an Omak story with Cal along for the ride.
Yes.
Than anything. Then there's Superman in what must be in the future at a moon colony that's haunted by a ghost that turns out to be a dead Kryptonian that came in a ship but crashed on the moon and died. And then in the last story, which is by far the best of the three, Lois gets Superman a special gift, because it's supposed to be Valentine's Day, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm.
While he turns to his super friends for advice, he basically goes to Batman, what should I get her? And goes to Wonder Woman, goes to Aquaman, what should I do? And Aquaman's like, well, an aquarium's always nice.
Yeah.
So he ends up getting her a watch, but
well,
it's not really a watch.
Not really a watch.
It looks
yeah.
like a watch.
Yeah. But it's more something that just tells her where she is and when she is,
right.
but not necessarily what time it is.
Right. Because she's always late and he feels she's worth the wait.
Right.
And she got him a gift, like a little box, but it's sealed. It's a mystery.
And he's never supposed to open it.
And he starts laughing because he's like, well, I already have one of those. I have a mystery. I
yes.
have you.
Mm-hmm.
So, just a very cute story. Batman 66, number 15, by Parker and Torres. This is another Digital First series, and this one, of course, based on the Adam West show. This issue's special guest villains, Penguin, and a much younger Black Widow. Now, of course, Burgess Meredith was the Penguin on the series, and Parker really gets the dialogue right. You can really hear Burgess Meredith saying those lines. And Black Widow was played by Tallulah Bankhead, which is a bit of an old reference for today's audience.
Yes, I'm guessing that even a lot of people our age don't know who Tallulah
yeah.
Bankhead is.
Yeah, so it's more of a generic female character than anything. Now, we do get a nice sequence with Bruce and Dick fencing, and I think they finally got Alfred's face right, all these issues in, that He actually looks like Alfred now. There's a deserted factory, and Robin even notes how Gotham City has too many of these deserted factories. Mm-hmm. And the question has always been, Bruce is rich. Why doesn't he just buy up all these abandoned factories and tear them down?
Or do something with them. Although tearing them down would be a better bet, because even if you do something with them, like make a community center, right. It still used to be an old munitions factory, and yeah. Some villain's going to try to take it over.
Exactly. And there's some sort of super spider's web that Black Widow is using. And Batman basically convinces Penguin that, well, once she takes us out, you're going to be next. So Batman and Penguin join forces to stop Black Widow, which is just a really great story. And again, the dialogue that you get from the Penguin is just so spot on from the series. All right, so before we get out of here, it's time to play America's fastest growing new game show.
Guess who's on the cover of Entertainment Weekly? Are you ready, Mark?
I'm ready.
Okay, I push the button.
TV related?
Yes.
Movie related? Nope, actually TV related.
Yes, it was TV.
I was just jumping on to the next one. One person on the cover?
No.
Two?
Yes.
Man and a woman?
No.
Two men?
Yes.
Is it they're both from the same show?
Yes.
On one of the broadcast networks?
No.
On basic cable?
Yes.
Okay. Is it a fictional show? It's not a reality show.
That's correct.
Is it genre related?
Not per se. No.
Is it a drama?
No.
It's a comedy?
Yes.
It's a comedy, two men.
Yes.
And let's see. Is it on like USA Network?
No.
Okay. Let's see. FX?
No.
No? Let's see here. And not AMC?
No.
Okay, well...
It's a comedy.
Right, yeah. That's what I'm... But Comedy Central doesn't...
Yes.
It is Comedy Central?
Yes.
And it's not a reality show?
Yes.
It's not a news show?
No.
Okay. Is it Key and Peele?
It is Key and Peele.
Wow.
Woohoo!
They're getting a lot of press all of a sudden.
They are. That's why I thought you'd probably get it if you knew it was Comedy Central. So...
That's weird. Okay. Want to remind you to go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts, and blogs, including our From the Pop Culture Bunker video podcast. You can subscribe via iTunes, and please leave us a review.
You can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter @sfppn, check out tumblr.com/blog/sfppn, or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP. And don't forget to yell at me if I don't read comics.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.